Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobar dan, lep pozdrav v terminu za Eriš intervju. Tole v podlagi že slište en komad zadnje plate projekta The Field. Torej The Field, ki danes večer skupi še z nemškim legendarnim elektronskim producentom Robertom Henkem oziroma Monolake nastopi v kinu Šiška, torej vsak svojim ločenim setom oziroma koncertom. Imeli smo priložnost se z obema pogovarjati, že je šlo s časom malo na tesno, tako da bomo pač Monolakov intervju skrajšali, pa se bo potem objavil, torej lahko ga boste slišali v celoti na spletni strani. Medtem ko The Field smo pa naredili intervju pred nekaj minutami tukaj na Radiu Študent, pa ga bomo slišali v celoti, pa dajmo torej kar slišati, kaj povedal Axel Wilner, torej človek oziroma producent, ki stoji za projektom The Field. So, you know, we enjoy your music a lot here at the station, and yet we know very little about you outside the Field project, yeah. About your background and stuff. Can you tell us a bit, was The Field your first step into music, serious step?
No, it was not the first serious step, actually, but it was my first kind of actual release, or how to say. Mm-hmm. A couple of years back, I was making more type of ambient guitar stuff, and I was in the boom of the CDR, so I also had like a CDR label and so on. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, featured on a few compilations and so
this
on.
This was more like droney sort of stuff?
Yeah, more ambient
stuff, like Fainest Dust and...
Yeah, not as processed guitars, but more that direction, of course.
Mm-hmm. And what was the turning point, you know, when you decided to start up The Field project, which is more like, in a way, it's still ambient, but also club-oriented?
Yeah. I think it happened around that time when I was still doing these guitar things, and because I was very much into electronic music and also got into a bit more to the techno stuff. And
When did this happen? When you got into this more techno stuff?
The techno stuff was maybe, yeah, like early 2000 that I started to make more techno-ish mm-hmm. things. Like with a 4/4, I'd say.
Right. And what sort of music were you listening when you were growing up?
When I was growing up, that was punk.
Punk music.
So, yeah, quite punk.
How did this transition come up, you know, from punk to electronic music?
Yeah.
I know that in the early 90s maybe there were quite a lot of people getting into this more rock side of music when Nirvana happened, you know.
Yeah.
After Nirvana stopped doing their stuff, lots of them turned back to electronic music.
Yeah.
Is that
maybe
kind of similar for you?
No. I got into punk music when I was really, really young because of all the siblings. And when Nirvana came, for me that was just another rock band. It was not so mm-hmm. much to the punk for me, but I did enjoy them, of course, too. But then I got into all kinds of types of music. I think to the electronic was probably the way through the post-rock, and then mm-hmm. and also like early stuff like Orb in the beginning, and that was also like songs that I liked, but I never really got into more than that. But mm-hmm. the actual turning point was really like when Daft Punk released Homework.
97, I think.
Then I really was like, okay, I want to do this too.
Mm-hmm. When you said post-rock was sort of entry point, or how you got into introduced to this more electronic music.
Yeah.
You know, your music as The Field is often attributed partly as shoegazing.
Yeah.
Do you feel a connection there with?
Yeah, I do. I love a lot of the old shoegaze scene as well, but it hasn't been the most influential music on me, but still, of course, it is. But yeah, not as other things, really. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can see the similarities.
You know, Sweden. We know Sweden or music from Sweden mostly through excellent pop music that was happening back in the day, and then later maybe some Swedish jazz even. But we don't know so much about electronic music. We know that there's lots of electronic music happening in Scandinavia, like Norway and Finland. We don't know anything about electronic music in Sweden.
Okay.
Was there a scene of some
sort?
Yeah.
There's always been a scene for a very long time. Sweden has a pretty interesting like early stuff, like 50s, 60s, and there's like an institution called Fylkingen.
And this was more experimental.
Yeah, very, very experimental, and more avant-garde, but still electronic. And then nowadays, or like since 2000, it's been quite a lot. The whole country kind of changed, and it's instead of going out listening to indie pop, a lot of people go out and dance. And so there's a lot of producers, and yeah, there's really big ones too, like really commercially big ones, like Swedish House Mafia, for example, and stuff like that. That's not really my kind of thing, but also a lot of more underground, or how to say, producers as well. That's been around for a long time.
Who is the most popular electronic musician in Sweden nowadays?
It's probably something of this crappier stuff, like Swedish House Mafia,
right,
Avicii,
right.
Like this, yeah, like commercial radio.
You got attention from the public quite early on, I think, soon after you released your first album.
Yeah.
You know, did they notice you in Sweden that early on as well?
No, I started to play, of course, around my first EP, so around 2005, and then I played a lot in Sweden, but the more internationally things started to happen, the less happened in Sweden. And I actually don't even live there anymore, so...
So you're now based in Berlin?
Yeah.
For how long?
4 years.
Uh-huh. What did this change in your perspective to your own work as the field?
Not that much, actually, because I'm not so involved into the music scene there either. It's Berlin, for me, that's home and family life, not the clubs.
Right. I know that this year you released a record under the alias Loops of Your Heart, and it seems that this is the record that which sort of refers to krautrock even.
It's like the old German electronic music from the early days has been hugely influential on me, and that's really like one of the music that I really enjoy listening to most. And I've been doing stuff on the side all the time with besides the field, of course. And so I just had been recording quite a few tracks, and then friends of mine in Cologne just started up a label, and they were interested in releasing it. So that's how that happened.
You know, earlier I talked to Monolake, so Robert Henke, and he said that doing visuals in a live context is one way of presenting electronic music to the audience.
Yeah.
And he said the other way is like Oetker does it in total darkness.
Yeah.
And then there's the way in which you do it with a live band.
Yeah.
When did this idea happen? You know, that is your work in studio much different from how you play as a band in a live context?
It is in a way, but the last album that came out now last year was made from that perspective, to make it easy from the beginning that this is something that we can
play live,
perform live without doing too much changes to it, like the kind of limited setup and so on. And
you worked with musicians in a studio as well.
Yeah.
Are these the two guys that are accompanying you tonight at
the drummer tonight is actually our new drummer. He's been on for like 9 shows now only, but the funniest thing is that he was the recording engineer
before.
Yeah, on that album. So he was very involved, and he's also an old friend of mine, and we made music before, like just more jam sessions and so on. So he was a very natural choice of being the new drummer when our original drummer departed.
Who was the original drummer?
Jesper Skarin is called, but yeah, he has 3 kids, 1 job and 5 more bands, so it was no time.
Right, and I know that on a previous album you worked with John Stanier, from, we know him as a drummer for Battles.
Yeah.
How did you meet him?
I think we met in Brazil the first time. We played a show together, and
Battles.
We just hit it off and had a good time, and then he lived in Cologne for a while, and I lived in Berlin, and I spent a lot of time in Cologne, and we started to hang out. And one day when we were in Cologne with the whole crew, like in the early time of when the field became a band, he was there as well, and we just said, yeah, let's jam. So we did, and came up with a sketch, and that sketch then became a track for that album.
We saw Beatrice at the same place, perform live at the same place you are playing tonight.
Yeah.
And I thought it was something new, something different in the context of concert.
Yeah.
Do you like what they do live?
Who did you say?
Beatrice.
Beatrice. Yeah, I do. It's a bit different now since Tiondai is not in anymore, but that was good what they did of it, I think, with this, they have this projections of these old guest singers.
They also sort of apply loops to their music.
Yeah,
especially
it's
in live
completely loop based, so that's something that I of course like.
Mm-hmm. You know, as we said, you got a wider attention from the audience quite early on. When you work in a studio, do you just do something that interests you, or do you have an audience in your mind as well, you know, a perspective this might appeal to a wider audience? Or
no, it's still actually as simple as it was from the beginning, that I do music mostly for myself. And like now playing, so now we're touring again, and that steals so much creativity for me to even think of making music as the field. So that's why I always have this side projects like Loops of Your Heart and so on, to have something to do at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't never really think anything further than this I like.
Right. Is this a band idea of using a drummer and a bass guitar player for a concert something new? Did you perform solo
before that? No. When I was a kid, teenager, I was in punk bands and playing punk already, so
right.
But from that side.
After you started the Field Project,
yeah.
It was just you playing live in the beginning?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that was, as I from that side, or so used to playing in bands, I kind of missed to do that live.
To interact with someone.
Yeah. It kind of sucks to play by yourself, I have to say. And so that's something that I really missed. And then I just asked friends if they wanted to join. And this is what it became.
What is the concept of a live performance? Is it based lots on improvisation or?
Yeah, it's kind of a structured improvisation, I have to say. It's a lot of the loops are the tracks, and you can still hear what it is, but the most things that we do, every gig is the other one alike, and you never know really. And something that we really like to do is see how far we can push it.
in what terms?
In repetition and so on.
Right. Maybe just one last question.
Yeah.
Obviously you are performing with Monolake, with Robert Henke tonight. What do you think of his stuff?
I do really like it. It's great. I haven't really heard so much lately. I played with him many years ago, and I was more into that at that time than I is right now. But he has a great legacy. So
well, he said he's looking very much forward to seeing you play live as well. So
sweet.
It should be an interesting night.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
O svoji glasbi torej razmišlja Axel Vilner, producent za imenom The Field. Zdaj bomo slišali pa še torej intervju z nemškim producentom, v katerem je tudi Axel najdu lepe besede zdaj ob koncu. Torej gre za Roberta Henke oziroma Monolake, ki pa prav tako kot torej Axel oziroma The Field nastopi danes večer v Kinu Šiška, pa dajmo torej slišati še kar del tega, kar je povedal Henke. So you've created, and helped create many tools for creating music over the years, but you also recorded lots of interesting music in this same time. So do you see yourself more as a musician or more as an engineer? Probably when it comes to electronic music, you know, these two sides aren't really separated.
It's a difficult question. I think what is more important to me is the artistic side, but I also found that engineering is an artistic thing to do also, because there you can find beautiful solutions for problems, and you can find solutions which are have their own aesthetics, and that's also part of being creative. But if I have to choose between creating tools and making music or making my own art, I would always choose for it. Yeah.
You know, in the past, it seems that studio, every artist created for themselves, sort of determined their musical aesthetics as well. And I guess that nowadays, you know, or in those early days, you were aware of the possibilities you had with the limited amount of the tools that were around, and you had to take that in consideration. But what was the turning point, you know, when you discovered that you will have to develop your own tools to be able to execute your ideas?
I think in our special case, the one thing which was really missing was a solution to perform electronic music. This was something which was not really supported by existing commercial products. Yeah, I mean, people used to put their whole studios on stage. And
you saw any of that stuff? What do you mean, whole studio, like synths and sequencers?
Exactly,
and
like really lots of machines. And
who was doing this? Did you see any of these shows?
Well, like in the 70s and 80s, where people had all these big machines on stage, and then in the
you mean bands like Tangerine Dream?
Tangerine Dream is a perfect example, of course, yeah. And then there was this time where people started using computers, but still the idea was that it's some linear thing. So you press play and things just play. And we always tried to come up with ideas which allow us to improvise. And
in a live context.
In a live context, yeah. But also in a studio, just as a way to work. You know, we always like the idea that the computer is something which runs and creates a structure, and you are in this conductor perspective where you say, okay, I change the structure. And for us, the essence of electronic music was always having access to something which changes the structure. So the computer is a musician and I'm the conductor, and I tell the musician, now play something else. And this is was the basic idea of how...
And you stuck to this idea until today?
Pretty much, yeah. And it's still the way how I make music on stage, that I try to have access to the big picture. And of course, I'd also like to have access to details, but the big picture is the more important thing.
You know, nowadays young producers have a wide range of tools for creating or to choose from, and yet it somehow seems harder for them to come up with something unique. Now that you teach music in an art school, if I'm not mistaken, what do you tell your students, you know, is the most important thing they must pay attention to when they start making their own music?
Actually, to stop thinking in tools and to start listening to their ideas, so that make clear to them that what really counts is the idea. So the big question is not what are you doing. The big question is why are you doing what you're doing. And if you find an answer for the why, then everything else will follow up.
You know, when you got started, you already said that you saw all these shows where people brought their studios to the stage. But you know, who did you get inspired by? When was the turning point when you thought to yourself, now is the time I try and make something on my own?
Well, I was always interested in electronic music since I was a teenager, and saw people like Kraftwerk, and I was just amazed by the kind of sounds they made, and the style, you know, music without vocals, music that are not songs. This was something which I found very intriguing. Some different kind of music than the classical pop and rock song. And but I never thought that I could become a musician of some sort. So I come from an engineering background, and as a result, I studied sound engineering and computer science, and music was just a little hobby of mine. Mm-hmm. Over the years, it more and more turned into the main thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, for many German electronic musicians, you can sort of tell that they are German because they have this tradition of German music, German electronic music. You can hear it through their music. But with you, I think it's a bit different. Maybe with the early albums, it was more obvious that you were inspired by all these German, even mm-hmm. krautrock bands. But then later, especially when you started doing rhythms that went out of this straight dance floor mm-hmm. stuff, it seems that you were inspired maybe by some other stuff as well. You were somewhere in between German tradition and British new tradition, you know, that turned up in the 90s. Is that so?
This makes total sense to me, yeah. Because as a matter of fact, I always enjoyed going to drum and bass parties and to listen to breakbeats and stuff like this. And at the same time, I also enjoyed the straightness of the German minimal techno groove. And I tried to make something which is somehow influenced by both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, with this current project, Ghosts, you're collaborating with Tariq Bari. You know, does the collaboration narrows down the various possibilities? What do you have in mind, you know, when you start working with a visual artist?
Oh, I started really pragmatic. I felt that it would be nice to have a visual side, because you always have a visual side. You cannot deny it. You know, people go to a concert and they look at you, and unless you turn off the light, which other, like Ortegra...
They performed, in fact, I think last year or maybe a couple of years ago uh-huh. in the same place.
And it was completely dark. Yeah, of course. So this is one strategy.
The other is maybe...
And the other is to try something with the fact that people look at things. And I just met Tariq because I was looking for someone who could program. And he showed me his visual stuff. And I thought it, and I saw it, and I thought, well, actually, this maybe it could work that we work together, yeah. And it just happened. So it didn't start with a big concept. It started just with two people who have very similar ideas how to work on a technical level, which for Tariq is as nerdy as I am. So we both we can talk about technical details. And at the same time, we have a nice way of interacting artistically. So we can talk about artistic stuff in a very nice way.
Mm-hmm. And when did you meet? Was this prior to when you started recording the album?
Yeah, this was earlier. And he just came into the studio production. He was not involved at all. He's just involved in he's involved in the live performance. And after the album was almost finished, we started talking about the live situation, and we basically listened to all the tracks and made notes for each track and discussed how it could look like, what we could do on stage, and tried to come up with a concept. And
takole smo mogli pač odrezati tudi tale intervju z Robertom Henkejem oziroma Monolejkom. Kot rečem, boste lahko celoten del torej intervju, oziroma intervju in celoti z Monolejkom slišali preko spletne strani Radija Študent. Kot rečem pa, torej, tako da Field kot Monolejk lahko danes večer vidite v kinu Šiško, vse skupaj ne bi se začeli tam okrog 9 oziroma malo čez. Z oba intervjuja sem pa pripravil Goran, za tehniko je pa poskrbel Jure. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.